suppose that is, we have our documents. We also have documents if that happens correctly, that means that they received in this update. So that they will thoroughly read. And when they come here, they already have made their mind as to what clarity they will look for. But on top of yes, we knew we had an opportunity to postpone this meeting because our political environment is not settled. But we felt very strongly that we owe it to the South Africans that whatever goes right or wrong, this particular program that is in our hands of the marginalized and poor must never be derailed at any given stage. Then, what I think also I need to highlight is that I had to respond in various media houses about the pronouncement by the spokesperson, I think that of the minister, Lunga Oliphant. So that triggered a lot of questions on our part as SASSA. And I've consistently had one political message that we were not yet informed about the extension, and particularly the content of that application. And secondly, classifiably, the matters are in the hands of court. Probably they were consulting the court. But we do have, in principle, steps that were to be taken by SASSA and the partners and the IMC. When I say partners, I'm referring actually to SAPO, I'm referring to the IMC, I'm referring to the SASSA and the Department of Social Development. So they have a program. And they have given us a progress guide as to what they would do on a monthly basis, etc. So those have a benefit to read. They will therefore have known whether those were followed or not. But to ensure that this meeting doesn't get lost in the process of what we're looking for, what we actually going to listen to, is not the detail, honorable members, but is what has actually been achieved in a brief way and what has been done extremely good. We already read about that. But these are the challenges that we are looking at. But we will learn by knowing exactly what type of application was made, how were we supposed to be taken on board in responding to that application of extension, and what is the content of the extension. So I think that is the gist of our discussion, not this whole document about what has been insourced, etc. That is good if it has been done. And the issue of leading to what led to the application and the issues of SAPO not being ready and us not being informed of that challenge, which is a serious one. The serious one we could have known and we could have recommended as to if SAPO is not ready, what do we as the ones to whom you account? The SAPO, there's no doubt, accounts to us. The department accounts to us, and ours is to ensure that they comply with court prescriptions in this regard. If that is not possible, we need to be made aware before any other strategies are being applied. Having said that, I will allow the members, therefore, to respond to this particular guide as to whether it will leave out critical information they need. Can I then pause and allow for a response to that?
Thank you, Mapole. that, no, Chair, you have said something about the issue of SASSA that we're in. I'm still in my mind is occupied with the development in the country. But maybe, Chair, for us as this committee, doing this thing without SASSA is a problem. You see, SASSA officials are here and the department is here. They will report what they are doing, but not about SASSA. So it was good if SASSA was here so that we know what's happening in terms of the way forward or the progress report. Because we are clear on the issue of INC, it won't come yet till we had a meeting with them. On the issue of the expert, we know they won't come yet till we get a progress report from them. But for us being with SASSA alone is a problem. Why I'm saying this? Remember now, we are having SASSA as a...
You are prepared, Honourable Member. I was just checking what they are doing. I will come back to that.
So for us, Chair, to have this meeting without SASSA, we can't have our meetings and put SASSA outside. SASSA now is part of us because we have agreed the contract with them. So as social development for us, especially as this committee of social development, it will be transparent for us that we invite SASSA maybe to hear. We don't know their story. There are a lot of things that are coming out in papers while we're still on recess to say the minister, the SASSA, the department. So it was good if all parties were here and parties represent themselves in this table. And while I go this report, Chair, it's anything. It's only 2 months. The attendance, imagine the last one, it recommended that the meeting knows the progress report. The progress report from which side? Only from SASSA. What about from SASSA? We don't know whether that amalgamation is waiting for them. So, and the SASSA cannot speak on behalf of SASSA. SASSA need to speak for themselves. Thank you, Chair.
Honourable Madoma, Honourable Matam.
Thank you very much, Chair. I think my colleague is correct to say that when we have to look at the timeline, tight timeline, very difficult for us as a portfolio committee, maybe to get the complete understanding of what is happening if SASSA is not here. I'm saying that because in the paper SASSA is saying we are ready, you know, on the other side SASSA is not ready. So I think it will assist us because there is an action plan or timeline for both SASSA and SASSA that they need to action. If now SASSA is giving us a progress report, we appreciate that this is a progress report. But it's incomplete progress report because the people that are the service providers, especially SASSA, is the one that must indicate its readiness on the implementation of the court judgment. Because now if they are not here, it's going to give a problem. Hence one was suggesting that we need to have SASSA SASSA as well as IMC. Because when we finalized the decision, all of us were there, IMC, SASSA and SASSA department.
Can I interrupt, Honourable Member? I think now we have gone into the content. Because my plea was, if the guide I was given in life, in terms of what the SASSA is supposed to do, but I think your recommendation is the last one at the end of the meeting. Because indeed, SASSA does account to the relevant portfolio committee, their portfolio committee. Ours is to actually oversight the compliance of SASSA and DSD to us. Then what the honorable members are talking about will be what will be talking about after we have been able to be taken on board on their actions, because we have not heard from them. We have not heard them talking about SASSA and other things. Let's hear their story, and then after their story, we'll come with critical analysis of what is lacking and what is not lacking. Honorable Masango.
Thank you, Chair. Good afternoon, colleagues. If I was not a politician, I would have said you covered me, because I wanted to say, now that SASSA is here, and when SAPO talks about SASSA, they say the client. So it sounds like, to me at least, that SASSA, when they come to report the progress on the Constitutional Court order, they will talk about the service providers they brought on board. And it is when we are getting conflicting views that we will say, like we've done in the past, where we've said, we need so-and-so here, we need so-and-so here. So I believe the meeting should go ahead, and I'm positive that SASSA will say something about SAPO, and that it's when we're not getting things right that we will say, maybe we need SAPO to also come here. Because, as I say, SAPO, when referring to SASSA, they say the client said, and the client said, so the client reports to us, and they bring or whoever their service provider is on board.
Thank you. Chairperson. I'll just be brief. I think what is important, we have to work through the way the chairperson has decided. So I am in agreement. The oversight and the department, let them give us support. And at the end of the meeting, when the chairperson sees all the shortcomings, then she will tell us this is the conclusion that's coming.
And my earlier request was that they shouldn't go into detail yet, because we have had their documents, but they should target gray areas that we need actually to engage on and get clarity and make proper instructions to them. So can I allow that process to unfold?
Yeah.
We expect a presentation, and therefore we have said be on the floor and address us, but we are also very clear that you will come to a stage where you highlight why you had to make an application and all the other things, because they are contained in your closed set report.
Good afternoon, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. In the interest of time, we will zoom straight into the presentation and maybe present the high-level progress in terms of this project, and then zoom in mainly on the issues around the extension. You will hear, Honorable Members, it's not an extension per se. Is the process of phasing in and phasing out the current service provider, but it is referred to as the extension. I will prefer the CEO of SASSA to take the members to honorable members. Thank you.
Thank you, thank you, Chairperson, Honorable Member. Good afternoon.
No, just a minute. The has said when a CEO makes presentation, it will touch areas like your face in, face out, and then the extension. But the Honorable Member wants to know exactly Can you repeat what you said?
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Members. In terms of the presentation by the CEO, that will be clearly covered. We are saying we need this 6 months to do the phasing in of the new service provider and the phasing out of the current service provider. That's how we refer to the 6 months. But legally, it is an extension. But the CEO, as she presents her report, it will be clearly, it will be clarified to the meeting. That's what I was saying. I would request the Honourable Member to wait for the further details on the matter as we present our process report.
I think the most challenging part of the presentation is the fact that we are also speaking with the statement issued by the spokesperson of the department stating that you've known it here a long time, that you won't make it, and therefore there's going to be extension. And as we listen, we already listen with that speaking in our minds. That's why then this becomes an issue. But I don't know, Honourable Member, I won't speak for you.
Chair, I wanted to be clear because now the extension will become a new one in this committee. We have been talking about phasing in, phasing out even in the last financial year. So if there is something that is extension, then it means the new case. It cannot be phasing in and phasing out. Because phasing in and phasing out, we have already briefed about it from when we were in the previous financial year, before the extension of the year. So I just want them to be clear on that. Because phasing in is not a new thing and phasing out, but the extension will be a new thing in this portfolio committee. Then we need to really a serious meeting on that. Phasing in, we knew that phasing in is not just going to happen within the 6 months or 7 months. It can take 5 years, it can take 10 years, whatever. But extension of CTF is something else. It's a new thing.
Therefore, when they make their presentation, they are going to present on the issues of phase in, phase out, and then they will be separately dealing with the issue that relates to the so-called extension of CPF contract. Are you saying that?
Yes, Chair. And to add on that, Chair, some of us have got memories that is bigger than even this computer, because some of us were born one computer was not there, so memory was not here. They, in their presentation, in the last financial year, let me just say, maybe the last year at this time, around this time, they were saying the facing in, they would do them themselves. It never had CPS, the process of facing in the extension. So they must be reestablished. What I know, whatever that they are going to present, I'm not one person that normally listen a lot to what is said in the meeting, but I want to listen to what is being said in this portfolio commission of parliament. And I've got notes on what they said in this same portfolio commission about phasing in and phasing out. Nothing. If there's something that is new change, then they must indicate that this one is new.
Let them then continue presentation. They are very clear of how this will be taken in actually responding to the perceptions that have already been taken.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. I think as we present, you will also get the information on what we have started as the SASA, in terms of doing that ourselves, like the Honourable Member is referring to. So I'm requesting that you start with the presentation, because you will see what is it that we have done in terms of ensuring that we do the actual payment ourselves as SASA. Thank you.
Thank you, DG. Chairperson, good afternoon, Honourable Members. We do have a presentation, but I will go through it very quickly until I reach where we have SASA and SAPO as a payment partner with SASA. Then I will go slower there. because the other things are in the document that we've given, and in brief, there's another document that is shorter that has been given. In the presentation, we were covering the SASSA change program in relation to insourcing of grant payments, SASSA and SAPO project plan, the SASSA engagement with the banks, and the SASSA contingency plan.
Please, honorable members, if I may interrupt, try and concentrate on your documents, because in a case, that one is very not clear. Just check if we don't have the report in our documents in front of us. That will help us a lot.
Okay, thank you, Chair.
Okay.
Then, the strategic objectives are outlined, page 3, slide 3, and then the social assistance coverage, just to say what we are covering is SASSA and what we are paying. On the amount that you are having there, we have over 17.3 million citizens. It's information that we know. And then on the current payment channels, we've just given a breakdown on how are we paying on the payment channel, because that part is very important on the things that we have in source. It's showing who's getting money from the pay points, the biometrics, who is getting money from the ATM machines, and then who is using the merchant's biometric, and then the merchant's without biometric. And then on the SASSA insourcing, we already opened a PMG account with the Reserve Bank, so that the commercial accounts would be paid directly. The commercial accounts are all the bank accounts that SASSA is having, will be paid directly by SASSA to the PMG account. What has happened, we've tested from the 1st of January. The test went very well, where we tested 100. And then after the testing, the whole over 2.1 million beneficiaries this February were paid by SASSA, which means that payment file didn't go to CPS. It was taken straight from the SASSA softpen to the PMG account of the Reserve Bank, and that payment is now being done by SASSA through the PMG account that we have with the Reserve Bank, which is one milestone that we have achieved at SASSA, because that one from February is being insourced and it's being paid by us already. Okay, and then we have done the other test for the other accounts, where we actually requested that all the people that are getting their money with PINs, they will also get the money through their preferred channels, which is most of them are using ATMs. And then the test has been done of 100, and we were looking and paying the whole 5.7 million this month to our PMG account again using our own SoftPen system, so that we can pay those people. These ones are the ones that are using the SASSA card, but they don't have banking accounts, but instead of going to the pay point, they are using the ATM. Maybe to move faster as well on the cash payment services, meaning that the provision of payment cards, security, mobile ATMs, and the others, a separate payment file for this cash payment has been done. I've already covered that part. We have the breakdown of all the provinces on the cash payment, because it's very important. The cash payment has been advertised for the cash, the people that are getting money from the pay points. Because that's the part that SAPO indicated that it would be 2
too cumbersome for them for now. They won't be able to take over the payment, and then we have to advertise for that one. It is showing the number of beneficiaries per province, and those are the people that are too far from the ATM. Some of them, they are using biometric, and most of them, they are older people, older persons, and then the people with disabilities. The graph is being shown there. On the regulation 26A deductions, which are the funeral covers, we have done all the processes, and then we have reserved, Treasury has actually given us the go-ahead on this one. We will be testing again this month on the payment, but we have done the simulation to see if these will go through, and they have gone through very well, which means SASSA again will then be paying going forward the funeral covers, of which we know that we have a lot of queries on it, will be paid by SASSA. But maybe to note that on the data that we do have, we have already analyzed the data. We have found that if you take the regulation, it's saying you must have one funeral cover as an older person, and the amount that you pay must not be more than 10%. But then in the slide there, we are showing the exceptions, of which we are working on them, where you find that an older person is having more than one funeral cover, and then in some cases an older person is paying more than 10% of the actual grant amount, and in some cases we find that if the older person is getting money for herself and the children, and then maybe it's not really the 10% of that amount, but you are not supposed to include the child support grant there. We are working on that as SASSA, and that will now become our responsibility. We are going to be doing that in-house, and to make sure that all the people that are taking funeral covers do have consent that they've signed with the funeral policy before we can actually effect the payment of those people. That part is going to be taken. Okay, the biometric enrollment. To access the solution, SAPO is attending to the onboarding function processes and the infrastructure readiness. The technical teams are meeting daily at the war room. We do have technical teams from SASSA and SAPO that are meeting on daily basis, and then every Friday we have a bigger meeting where all the technical teams come back to report to the team on the progress on what is happening in their technical team. Then that's where we are. We have had some migration to the banks. I want to explain the part of the bank on how it really happens. Remember when we report or we do a report to the Concord, we must always go and report to the panel of experts. Now, most of the cases, if you have the report that we've sent to you, you'll find that what happens is whatever the panel of experts have given to the court as recommendations, most of those things that they have recommended comes back to us as court direction. And if they come back as court direction, as SASSA, we must implement those court directions. That is why you find that we have SAPO and we have the banks as well. The panel, if you read their report, they strongly believe that most of the people must be paid through the banks. They believe that it is cheaper to pay people through the banks, and it will be cheaper for the fiscal, and SASSA won't really have, you know, to go out there and actually see if the people are being paid. And in one of the directions that we've sent, the court has said to us as SASSA, we have to explore the payment of all the beneficiaries through the banking account. And then if we don't do it through the banking account, we have to report to the court. So what is happening now, our monthly reports to the court are actually explaining, the first report was explaining that we do have people, but the court, the panel of experts as well, they said to us, on those people, especially those that are using ATM, we must do that. But they further said, on the people that are at PayPoint, we must advertise. They were just alluding to say, we will have to advertise for those people because we cannot just remove them from the PayPoint, but we must have a plan of migrating those that are younger ones that are using the PayPoint to the ATM or to the banks, particularly to the banks, so that we can reduce the actual amount that you are paying for all the beneficiaries, which means the bank, the charges that you are paying for beneficiaries.
That then the members of the portfolio committee must take note of the irrespective of age, distance for traveling and access to services by rural communities, and also the choose in our banks. Because this keeps with the argument that the portfolio committee has always come was that they are not bankable. But now it does seem in one way or another there's that push. I only wanted to highlight that so that when members make their input, they take note of that. Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe something to add as well. With the amount that we had for people that are using FASA card, we have adhered to the direction of the court by writing to all our local offices to say people must be given an option if they want to go to the bank, to go to the bank. And then we have, through Treasury as well, been involved with BASA and PASA, which are the organizations that are with the banks. Those are the organizations that are dealing with the banks. Through them, we have met with almost all the banks, but then because of the banks being aware of the competition commission that they might be known as colluding, we have involved the banks on one-by-one basis, of which the panel as well also has recommended that part. But over and above that, we felt that as SASA, even if people go to the bank, we need to still be part of that. We need still to protect them. So we have given the banks the requirements on one of the slides where we outlined what type of an account we would like if there are negotiations with them, which is similar to what SAPO is going to give our beneficiaries. We are much aware that even on those people that are using ATM, they might not want to go to the bank at the moment. So we still will keep our agreement with SAPO where they will, at a certain stage, I've got it in the presentation, swap the SASA card with the new SASA SAPO card, swapping this card that we're having now. But it is important just to note that this was a direction from the court, but SASA has always had people that were getting their money through the commercial bank account. But the court was saying we should encourage people that want to opt for bank accounts to go to the bank, of which we have done, and we are engaging with the bank. We will give the full report of the banks because they are under the impression that they want to give their own low-cost products, but we believe that as SASA, if it's a grant recipient, everyone must get the same product from all the banks for those that still opt for the banks, because remember, we still are going to keep the pay points for those that can't go to the pay point, especially the elderly and the ones that are disabled. And then we have the migration to the bank there, the one I've explained, and then the requirements for the low cost account. And then on the cooperatives and financial institutions as well, we would like them to be part of the payment, especially at the pay points, so that we improve the way we pay at the pay points. And we do have one cooperative that is already used by SASSA in the Northwest. We believe that a lot of other cooperatives will be joining. If you look at the challenges with the EPE card, which is the green card, we are tackling it. We've issued a circular confirming, we've engaged CPS on that one to say they can't issue those cards, because now remember the green card as well in the space of banking it's also taking as a commercial bank account, of which it's now underwritten by Greenrock. But we have issued a circular that no marketing of any product will take place at the SASSA office or the pay point on that green card. And people that opt to go to the bank, they can choose any other bank they want to go to. But those that don't want to go to the bank are still given an opportunity to get their money from the pay point. And then only SASSA branded cards to be issued by CPS at the enrollment officers, and then the beneficiaries who choose, because some of the beneficiaries, because of the EPE card giving them loans, when they want loans, they actually opt for that card on their own. And then on the communication side as well, we have, we're doing our communication through the IMC, and then the communication is to communicate the expiry of a card, the card swap that is going to be developed, but we are waiting for the date on mid-March when SAPO starts issuing their card. Then we will go very aggressive on this one. But at the moment, we're just saying everyone must wait until they get a directive for us. And we are stressing that the green cards are not replacing the new SASSA cards. They are just the cards for a green dot, which is another bank. And then on the SAPO as a payment partner, under the leadership of the Interministerial Committee on the Comprehensive Social Security, an implementation protocol was signed by SAPO and SASSA on the 17th of November, and the service agreement on the 8th of December. In terms of the agreement, SAPO will provide the following services for 5 years for SASSA: electronic banking services, which is the corporate account and the special disbursement account for the beneficiary. This is the corporate account that we need, where we will deposit the money for the beneficiaries, and then all the beneficiary accounts will be then attached to this corporate account. And then the onboarding of new beneficiaries to instant account opening and card issuance at SASSA offices, like you are doing it now. We don't want to change that experience. And the biometric authentication of beneficiaries, that is the biometric that SAPO is going to use must talk to the biometric that SASSA is using when we are opening a grant account, because we do take those fingerprints and we do keep them, and we are having all those biometrics kept with our offices now, and we are getting them monthly from CPS, and that has been confirmed. And then the development of a software in conjunction with other state entities, that is, we will include the CITARs to actually help with the SAPO side. And then the project of governance, and then with all what is happening, we do have a Gantt chart that is saying when by when everything must be finished. And then we were instructed by the IMC last week that when we present, we must present one presentation. It must mean the SAPO presenting one presentation and SASSA presenting one presentation. It should be one presentation that is representing how the takeover is going to take place. And then on the project governance and issues, the following function area groups are there to actually work. We have the technology, banking, and info security. This is now the groups that it's SASSA people and the SAPO people. These are the groups that are reporting chair on Fridays, every Friday, those groups are reporting, and we are looking at the risk management and compliance on those as well. And then on the provisioning of electronic banking, the holding account, the development and approval of the holding account has been given, and then the special disbursement account. The card body production, which is what we've seen with what SAPO has advertised, one of the advertisements that they did was the one for the cards, of which they said because of the freeze, that the procurement freeze that was in December to Treasury, they will only be able to issue the first card mid of March, this financial year. But now, just to elaborate on the issuance of card, if you talk of a lot of people that we have, the issuance of card won't take a month or two. That's where then we need time where the two systems are running parallel, so that wherever the SAPO will be able to go, they will swap the SASA card with the SASA SAPO card. And from our experience, Chair, last time when we did this project with CPS, because we were taking biometrics as well, 18 months, but that's why then we have asked them to say this process is for the phasing in and the phasing out of, phasing in of SAPO and the cash service provider and the phasing out of CPS, of which a lot of phase out has taken place, but we are saying we need to synchronize the gradual synchronization of the two systems, so that at the moment they need to run parallel, so that it doesn't interrupt any of what is happening now. Because if you might want just to switch off one system and put the other system without proper testing, it might be a problem. Then the process of phasing in, phasing out, we're saying it's phasing in, phasing out for 6 months for the termination of a contract with CPS, while SAPO and the new cash service provider are taking over. As they will be taking over, as we are taking over as well, they will start taking over before the 1st of April. But we don't want to have glitches to say we'll just switch off one system and the other system. And we are aware that by the 1st of April, not all the cards will be issued to our beneficiaries. I think that's where we are. And then on several meetings we are having, and then the other slide is just repeating what I've just said, I've just explained. Now coming to the...
Now I think it's way progress reporting, mm-hmm. and we are about to start this issue of extension. This is upon the members if they want her to finish or probably ask questions in this area. Can I get it from yourself?
Thank you, Chair. Now, with the compliance with the Constitutional Court, we're saying payment has taken place monthly without any disruption since the 1st of April. The first quarterly report was submitted. We have sent all the reports to the members. The first report was submitted. The engagement with the independent panel of experts has been done. The IMC engagements are ongoing. We're having our meetings regularly. And then the second quarterly report submitted on Concord on the 15th. The third quarterly report submitted on the 18th of December. And the report that we must submit on monthly basis, where we are reporting on the pain on the migration of the banks and who is migrating when. The Concord has directed that that one should be monthly. And then in December, SASSA reported the need to retain the services to allow the phase-in, phase-out process for the termination of a contract. And then a letter was written to the court on the 18th of December telling them about that. And then the formal application was lodged on the 7th of February. Maybe to explain on the phase-in and phase-out report. We have said it in the IMC has explained it as the phase-in, phase-out report for 6 months for the termination of a contract. But when it comes to law, because the present extension of the setting aside of the invalidity of a contract is ending 31st of March, so the court, whether we're saying it, we are phasing in and out, because that's the end date. So they call it an extension in the law term. They cannot take the phasing in, phase. They understand that it's phasing in, phasing out, but because you're going beyond the 31st of March to the court and the law language is saying it's an extension of the contract. Okay, I think I'll stop there for now. Thank you.
Well, honourable members, I understand the torture under which you are working. I don't know what now is coming through the nose of the nurses of most members. If there's someone who is not, please check up. If there is enough water or whatever, but I think there is a particular smell that comes through the nose from our members. Members, there's the explanation, the presentation. I will now see platform for any response from your side. Honorable Van der Glaser, Honorable Bev, Honorable Masango, Honorable Mashofa, can I stop there? Or Honorable Tonti.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for the presentation. It's been good, and happy Valentine's Day to everybody, and welcome back. Ms. Bengu, I hear the argument about phasing in and phasing out. I hear it, I completely hear it, but, you know, I've got several problems here, and that is the fact that when we left Parliament last year, we had on numerous occasions had asked SASSA about whether there will still be a CPS come 1 April 2018. And emphatically on numerous occasions we were told that there will be no CPS. And, you know, we are not fighting because of course we want grants to be paid and there shouldn't be any glitches in the system, but to find ourselves in a situation where now, again, we will have CPS from 1 April 2018. And the question arises, when we asked you last time, will there be a CPS, the answer was no. Now we've been told 6 months. But the problem is, who can assure us now that it will only be 6 months, this phase in and phase out? Because you might find after the 6 months, there's another 6 months. Because CPS applied to the courts, they filed their own paper saying they want to indefinitely provide services to SASSA. So this, it really concerns me because I think that there's one thing that we were all very clear about, and that is that we do not want Cashmark to pay services to be further involved to paying grants. So I must raise my concern there because even though I understand what your rationale, had we been expeditiously working on phasing in a new partner last year and we didn't delay our feet until November, we would certainly not have had CPS lingering around. But now it will take us up until September, so they will be with us for almost, so while we call it another 6 months, they'll be in the mix for almost all of next year. So I really want to raise my concern because firstly, when we ask in Parliament whether CPS will still be around and the answer is no, that is misleading Parliament. It is misleading parliamentarians. We left here thinking we won't find CPS around anymore, so it's really concerning. Secondly, I want to find out about your relationship with SAPO at this moment, because we had a presentation yesterday with the Telecommunications Portfolio Committee, and there seems to be a lot of animosity between SAPO and SASSA. For example, there's a lot of to-ing and fro-ing in the media where you guys are really saying nasty things about one another in the media, and I don't think that bodes well for cooperation. So I want to know, how is the working relationship? Are you working well together, or is there a lot of animosity? Because it seems to me that your working relationship is not good at all. I want to understand, I see CPS has filed court cases, they are suing you, they are claiming over 700 Rand or almost 800 million Rand in damages. I wanted to get clarity on that. On the 4th of January 2018, another work stream was appointed in the form of Rangeway. And that I find that concerning, because previously we had problems with work streams. It is an issue that has currently caused a lot of anxiety before, so I need to get clarity on what Rangeway is doing, whether they've been appointed, and whether Treasury gave you the go-ahead to appoint them. And I've got a few other questions, but I'll come back to you, because let's leave it there for now.
According to the list, there was Colonel Kuber, Colonel Majorca, Colonel Massan, and Colonel Kuston.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Yes, I'm also concerned about the phase in and phase out, which is not very clear, but nonetheless, my colleague has covered it. Regarding the funeral policy and other deductions, I've seen in the media that social development will be, SASA will be invited to the Trade and International Relations for Trade and Development at the moment, where on occasion, next session also say that they're helping and assisting the deduction that this irregular done. What can SASA feel much about? How would they avoid this? Because also in the CEO's presentation, it states that Grindrod won't be allowed to market, while other banks will be allowed to market. Now my question is, if Grindrod funds more than the other former banks in the marketing, and how will they avoid to have this unnecessary burden of administration? Once there's more than one policy or anything on old people's grounds, and how they also manage the system where there is more than one. The CEO mentioned and said that they are aware that there's more than one. How they manage to become the burden, administration burden, if it's not well managed. Also, I'd like to know, I learn more in the media than I learn in my department here. SAPO, also in the newspaper, say that they are ready for the 1st of April. My question is to SASA, according to their records and according to their information, is it true? Because we don't see SAPO, so unfortunately have to ask that question, saying they know more than us. And also, why don't SASA completely stop the EPE card? When you speak to the community out there, the beneficiaries, they don't have a clue what is Grindrod, they don't have a clue what is SASA, all they know is SASA is a grant and SASA, doesn't matter what card, as long as it's there. And some of them have been 12 years before they could get loans and things like that. Why can't it just completely stop it instead of still giving the option of Grindrod's card operating? Thank you, Chairman.
Thanks, Honourable Chair. Thanks to the acting HOD and the CEO of SASA for the presentation. I think it is true that I think it is true, Chair, that there are challenges in finalizing the payment on the 1st of April, according to the presentation. But what I want to check, I hear the CEO talking about so many banks that now are going to take over, that has been proposed to say that the banks must take over. What I want to check, Chair, when we're saying that SAPO is supposed to take over because we want to empower or give capacity to the state. If now we are taking this service now to the well-established banks, are we still going to empower or give capacity to the agencies or institutions of the state? Because they have proposed, I think that you said, they have proposed that now they prefer that the banks must pay. So if SAPO is low, are they still going to get the beneficiaries that will go on their side? Because the main aim was to have effectiveness, efficiency in the state, as well as the capacity of the state. I'm having a concern there, because seemingly now it's like it's not going to be SASA as well as SAPO that we wanted to empower and give capacity to the state. Secondly, Chair, my understanding, maybe if the memory serves me well, I think in the last meeting with IMC, SAPO, SASA and the department, because of the clumsiness that took place during the media briefing by SAPO, SASA, there was a problem. I think we ended up saying that INC must be the one that must communicate the decision so that we prevent to have different messages. We have one message through INC. What I want to check on the communication strategy, what happens to that if now we have different people talking on this particular matter, whereas we said through INC we need to deal with this matter so that we have got one message, not different message and confusion to the community at large. The last one, Chair, what I want to check, you in your provision of electronic payment, you said you were supposed SAPO was supposed to give one the batch of card, the first one, not the second of April 2018. But now seemingly I see 16 March 2018. Is it the reason that now we are requesting for extension? Because the time that they were supposed to forward this first batch of the card, according to your presentation, they didn't provide the card. Is that the reason that they are extending? Because as the chair was saying, we don't have the real content to say what is the reason for the extension. Maybe if we can get this one, because I think, Chair, my apology that we said really we need SAPO here and the IMC. SAPO, we wanted SAPO because there are timelines for both SASA and SAPO on something that they need to do. If they have not done, it's very difficult. We know that they are accounting to us, the department and SASA. But now it becomes a problem to us, because when SAPO came to us, they said they are ready. They were saying they are ready, they will do this thing, they've been doing it for some time. But now if we see this postponement, now what is the problem? What they say is a problem. The extension, did you give them extension? What happened? They requested the extension and you afforded them the extension. What is the problem when they put forward their request to do the extension? Because the timelines were saying 2nd of February. At the moment, Chair, we
But for the benefit of fellows who respond, the issue of people being given to commercial banks, we must also take on the issue of the influence of the experts wanting to promote commercial banks and taking our people as vulnerable. Yet they are just being given funds to sustain their lives. Not necessarily that they bank for the purpose of accumulating interest or profit, but just to a channel of receiving So this banking matter must be separate from where you go to bank in order to be able to receive, instead of you putting that money for the growth of your economy. So I think when you answer, because whoever is doing it, there must be something that says, as parliamentarians, we think there's a violation insofar as SAFA Act is concerned. Can I then, as I was just aligning this to your own package of your questions, can I allow Honorable Masango?
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Secretary, for this presentation. My question, I think, has been partly covered by Honorable Kadofa. When she was talking about the issue of communication, what has happened in the public domain is that there is some clumsiness that is brewing there, which in my simple interpretation is going to cause a situation where we will have beneficiaries that are going to fall between the cracks in terms of them knowing what it is that they need to do, especially because there are so many options that are put out there for them. And I say that appreciating what the CEO said when she was saying that people will be free, and that is what comes out of what the court through the panel of experts said, to say people must be given, and I think we want that people must be free to do those things. But I am so worried and nervous about the communication of this to especially the beneficiaries. One had a situation where people are so scared that come 1st April 2018, they might end up not getting their money because they were not where they were supposed to be, or they would not have done what they were supposed to do, because now they're getting letters, now they're getting information that says to them, you must go and go to the bank, ask for a form, come back to SASA, or sign it or something like that, get it stamped, but they are so confused. I would really advise that or ask that we our communication to the beneficiaries, which we outlined now, are some of them illiterate, some of them old, some of them have disabilities, some all those are the things that put them in vulnerability, that makes them need a special way of making sure that we come across as if we know what it is that they must do, and we will ensure that they get their money. I'm not even going to go into the situation of the delays that have happened, except to ask, when the acting CEO was saying that support said that they will not do the cash payment because I believe you used the word cumbersome or something like that, why was that the reason? Because one reads stuff like the delays from Chasa's side are what caused them to say, no, we will not take that on board because we are not going to be able to deliver on it. But one wants to know, have we not learned from previous times that we cannot afford to delay stuff? There was something yesterday, Chair, and I don't want to now come with issues that were discussed in another portfolio committee yesterday, where there are things like people are waiting for stuff and it's not coming and they don't know why it's not coming. I just want to hear, because I believe that SASA is the one that must give me information, and it's SASA that I must believe and what they are telling me about issues that are still outstanding from SASA's side to SAPO for all this to happen. And one would like to know that, because this thing of descending on media for a department that you are exercising oversight over, it's just so embarrassing, to say the least. And I understand the fact that we had holidays, we hadn't started and things like that, but why is it that SAPO could not do cash payments? And I would really like to be clarified on the issue of the communication strategy, because I believe that GCIS, SASA even gave a whole strategy and timelines of what is going to be communicated to the panel of experts. And if that is not happening, are we monitoring that, and what are we doing about it? Thank you, Chair.
And on that note, please allow them to report and then get questions. And because if they do so, other questions might arise, which will be covered by the next session. You want to talk now?
And mine was just a clarity-seeking question onto what she had said.
Okay.
What does one buy?
No one
But now, ikwangu Concord futhi onika usasa i-extension. Iyaxaka kuleyo ndawo. Iyangimangalisa futhi. Okwesibini futhi, usapho ndirhalela ukwazi ukubana wohlule kaphi. Ngoba thina xa sohlukana apha last year, sohlukene sisazi okokubana woza 1st April 2018 usapho uredy for action. Okwesithathu ndiye kulaa ndawo ye-migration banks ndibona kulungile okokubana abantu basiwe kwi-ATM. Ingathi kwarayithi laa ndaba ye-pay point because kaloku abantu okokuqala imitshini abayazi ezinto ze-technology yabona. Bayakhuthuzwa. Ayalahleka naleyo makhadi bayawatshintsha kwimishini ootsotsi benza yonke leyo nto leyo. Ndicinga uba i-pay zi-right for bona abantu. But ke okubuhlungu sisonke nje apha even ne-South Africa yonke iphela iinjongo zayo zezokokubana abantu babe bathola ii-grants zabo ii-beneficiaries zethu ngokufanelekileyo. So noba kwenzeka ntoni but abantu bakuthi bona makuzane kangangoko kunako okokubana babe bathola amalungelo wabo which is ii-grants zabo ngale 1st ka-April 2018. Ndiyabonga, Chairperson.
Okay, I want to finish all before they report. Any other outstanding member? There's a lot of the issue. It's an illegal contract. Over the past 3 years, it was extended for a year, it was 4 years now, and again you want 6 months again. I've been following the deliberations that have been given in Chairman's, and I don't know whether or not members on the inquiry about who has to pay and all those things. Just even listening on that chair, you can see, you can listen and hear that there's a lot on the CPF. Somebody or somehow, there's somebody who is benefiting out of CPF. That's my analysis. And I'm saying it without fear or faith. Okay. If they want to quote me, they can go and quote me because they quote us very well, chair. We need to get to the bottom of this. Because there's a lot that we are losing as a country out of that contract. It does not benefit the South African. It benefits certain individuals. I don't know, but maybe the IR can assist for us to get to the bottom line. Who are the people that are benefiting? The second issue, Chair. I'm looking at the report, and I always say when I read such a report, I don't know what to believe. Because you get a report today, tomorrow they are on the media saying something that is very different. That is contrary to what is in the report. Now you ask yourself the question, who are supposed to be privileged with the information? Is it the Portfolio Committee of Parliament or is the media? Or whoever, whoever is supposed, I don't know. Chair, let me come to the tender. I don't know whether you all saw the tender advertisement, which I then went back to the initial tender. What were the terms? Let's submit the current terms. In the tender, in the previous day, the current tender application is saying it's SASA paid 16.44. I'm speaking under correction. It's 16.something. And that amount is kept, checked. It's a kept amount. Now, which for me it was a very good move when you kept an amount. Because it means you're not going to, you are saving, government is saving. You're not going to get, when the inflation is high, up and down, the market, people understand it better than I understand those who are in the economy. Now when they advertise for the new service provider, the advertisement is sitting at 65 francs or the bidder should not come or should not exceed 65 francs, 60. But now, this one, check, it's not checked. And in the country, the current, the fiscal in the country is under stress. In the current juncture where we are, this one is not. And you remember also in the issue of tendering, already I think around October, September, there was a lot of news that there's somebody who is supposed to get this tender. That is why they are pushing SAPO, that is why they are demonizing SAPO, they are doing all of those things because there is somebody who is earmarked to get this end. Now, he therefore comes back to me and says, what is exactly, why are they doing this now? Why at that time they kept it, but this one, they are not keeping it. In other words, at the end of the tender, we would have paid, I don't know, maybe more, because it also depends or whatever that is happening at that time in the country. So my question is that, why is this tender not kept in time? Yes, it was kept, and it saved us a lot of rented cents at that time, but now our cash is under stress, and you do a tender differently. Can we get the reason why it is done like that, Chairperson? It might not be part of the presentation, but I really want to know that because it's part of the process for us to move forward. Chairperson, again, I would have loved that the Portfolio Committee should have been finished with the terms of the extension. Because now the extension part of the CPS, say Funa Party, the Yelibu Nyamini, the Funa Kana, how about the government? Why we should have perhaps got a thorough presentation that what is it exactly? I'm asking where I'm sitting. What is it exactly that is in place in the extension? What is it that CPS will be doing that other service providers or whether it's SAPO and whatever, are they not going to be able to do it? Chair, I'm moving towards going to the end of what I'm saying. So Chair, the last question. The issue that we need to get all of them. I want to support what the Honourable Member said we need to get all of them in one room. There's nothing that will stop us to call SAPO because SAPO, it is ours. It is our chance. For SAPO to sit here and be able to talk whatever that is happening because SAPO will say this and SAPO will say this. And it's not nice what we say on the media that well, this one will be saying this one and this one will be saying that. And most importantly, Chairperson, every time SAPO will come in to demonize SAPO. And they are forgetting one thing, that SAPO, and they must remember that, Chairperson, that they are implementing the mandate of the African National Congress, and the mandate of the National African National Congress is to build capacity in the state. And we see SAPO does not want to build capacity within SAPO. That one, you can see it there. We are born out from Nova Ube by Kaila by Ted, we are born about food in SAPO. Don't even get about food in SAPO. And SAPO is one of the capacity, if the capacity is in the state entity or state a government, that a department that is the state, is like one of the capacity for the by your chair. The last thing, Chairperson, next time when we have a meeting, the house should be here. Remember, we said it's not going to be a committee. And we make sure that we work. People who do not want to work, really, they should leave government, and they should not hinder the processes of government. Processes of government should go on, and we deliver the services. The grant payment, grant on its own, it is our basis. It's the policy of the African National Congress. And we can't sit back and see people who want us not to progress, to move forward in a little bit. Let us have a little bit of compromise. Thank you, Shane. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I
Chairperson, I just wanted to make a quick follow-up. I want to ask, I remember in that letter that the South African Post Office wrote you back when you first started engaging one another, there was a point where it said that it agrees that you should look for a service provider to pay out cash, if I remember correctly. And that was in June or July. So my problem is, I think we need an honest answer today whether there is a movement within SASA and social development to cause delays to keep cash market paying services. Because to me it seems that even over December, I mean, for example, Chairperson, just to read you a comment which has been made about the South African Post Office, and it's quote, "We are dealing with dishonest people here who are largely motivated by self-interest." This is a comment about SAPO. So I think we've really got a situation here where the working relationship between SASA and SAPO is untenable, that there's delays that are being created unduly to keep cash master-based services. And if that's the case, then we need that answer emphatically today. Because the fact of the matter is we are now today going to walk out here and we're going to say yes to an extension, but it's an open-ended extension. We haven't seen the terms and conditions of this extension, and in 6 months' time, we will be told that there must be another extension. So I want to ask whether in that letter, in that initial letter, whether they indicated that they couldn't pay out the cash, because that's what I remember, and then why did we not act expeditiously to find a service provider? Because now it seems we did nothing, and we're now at the point where we need them again to help us, and they must be laughing all the way to the bank, really. So I wanted to ask that question. And I also, for example, listening to ENTA and some of the SABC, some of the comments that people are making, like, for example, the spokesperson of the minister about the post office, it's really, I must put it on record that some of the comments are not truthful, it's not nice, and we must really desist from this open-ended war that we are seeing playing out in the media, which is not good for us. And also, I think it must stop that we as parliamentarians are learning about development through the media. That is why last year, this group of people had such a horrible time at SCOPA, because information wasn't forthcoming. We were learning about development through the media, and I think really, this must stop. Whenever there's an application to the Constitutional Court for an extension or anything else, it must come to you first, Chairperson, and you must be informed about development so that you can inform members. We should not be learning through the media about what is going wrong or going right in this instance. So I just wanted to get clarity on when did they indicate to you that they can't pay out the cash? Thank you.
No, Chairperson, thank you. Let me take the cue from my honourable member, especially number one with the spokesperson, the communication officer. I don't know if of department or SASA, but that I know SASA is saving its own, but it's a department one. I think this is for the third time or for the fourth time that we could be complaining about one person. And maybe from the side chair, you need to write a letter to them or to the minister. Because it seems like she represents us. And what she's doing there, she's not a member of parliament and she cannot even talk on our behalf. Remember, it's us that's doing oversight, not her. So address that thing of that comrade. Chairperson, on the issue of CPS, let us be fair, we are honorable here. I'm an honorable member, I took an oath. Comrade Reddy has taken oath, honorable provision, all of us here. The extension of CPS, it mustn't just come here as a table agenda, you know? Or the SASA is coming to tell us the development, but at the end of the day, we know that there's therefore of CPS. We are rejecting this issue of CPS. As this committee, we are rejecting the issue of CPS. Number one, we are not kids. If SASA want to be open, want to play an open card with us, they must come with a document. We must see those timelines of the contract. We must see the risk, if there's a risk between CPS, SAPO, and the department, including those 17 million recipients are up there. But if they are coming, officials are coming, CEO, through you chair, if they are coming here to come to lobby us on the issue of extension of CPS, as this committee, we say no, we reject it. We can't take that. Remember, last day we were going to the SCOPA, you know, remember that process, we doesn't want to go back there. And as social development, we want to do our oversight, not SCOPA doing our oversight for us. We want to take over the issue of that, it belongs to the table. So, on that matter, they must tell us, if it was supposed to be tabled today, I think they will play with us, it's not a serious thing that we take. We reject the issue of CPS. And remember, what is CPS? Honorable Solid has outlined. It's an unlawful contract. You cannot come back with it here to extend it. You can't. And let's call SAPO next week, Chairperson, and SASA to come and explain to us. You will hear different stories, different tunes, different sounds and songs. So the CPS is no to us. Because we as members, we know that the CPS is on. So we cannot now come and glorify it. Let us be open, officials, especially when we talk about issues of, we don't want to go to jail. If you want to bring it to the business outside, so I don't want to be part of the officials. So let us be open, ready on the checklist. We reject this thing. It's a recommendation for us. We don't take anything. That's the CPS. Thank you.
Okay. I think I would give the members to actually respond, but necessarily as a chair, I'm not really participating. At some stage, I must be able to say something. I fully agree when I say we could not call these two entities to come here. Because our oversight is directly honorable Mabulane, is that SASA must account and talk about them. However, there's no limitation as to we have heard your story. We will go our own way of meeting with any other entity. The law allows us to do so. But it could have been very unfair on our side without knowing what the ones who report to us are saying to really call another entity.
Yeah.
So the fact is, I do understand, as the secretary is wide awake, that we need the meeting with SAPO. We also need a meeting with IMC because under normal circumstances, they are supposed to be invited to give us an update with the ones that there's an emphasis that there will be no extension. I fully agree with the members that there is not going to be any extension, because this was the extension. It is not normal to have an extension of the extension. So there's not going to be an extension. But if before we arrive at that DSD as a principal in that area, if even your member, not SASA, who actually went and addressed this nation through Morning Live on the issues of extension. That is why we are now having different interpretations, different views and perceptions, because Umama Ulunga, Nguye Oliphant, Obeye Kwi Morning Live, by Morning Live, whatever. What yena? They knew. Which means some of the other South Africans who took a wrong decision, yet they were wise enough to say, to know that it won't work. I was listening. That we knew that this won't work. And therefore, we are extending. And therefore, the committee is very clear. This committee is very clear there will be no extension of whatever nature. We refuse. And that's point number one. We can talk about all the other things, but ayikho into ethi siza ukwengeza ubukho buka CPS. Number two, there is this matter of social development and SASA. Honorable Lizette, can we be in one meeting, please, with all the due respect? That we know that social development is the one who actually appoints or establishes SASA. But I think SASA is an adult in terms of them stating what they are supposed to be doing. Because we are in a mess now, because of social development speaking on behalf of SASA, saying that SASA will do this. Is remember, she's not SASA. She's the spokesperson, I don't know whether of a minister or of the department. There's that actual myth as to who is Miss Oliphant. Is she the minister spokesperson? Is she the chief of communications in that department? She, it's not clear. And I can tell you, she's not only arrogant to us as these members, but in the entire country. This communication issue, we have raised it many times, this lady, many times, that it injures the poor. There's a hell of a panic now about this particular communication, because they don't know what. Why does she wake up in the morning, go there? You remember, remember very well that there was a big issue where she actually organized a program or whatever interview for the minister, and about some monies that were supposed to be paid that way. Paid that were not paid. We don't want to be in the media for really, really not good things. Because that led to a confusion. Whatever arrangement it was, many departments have their people going there. But the way she did it, she is very clumsy, if I may say it in my language. Very clumsy in actually articulating what has to be done. No, I don't want to go back to the other issues where we even, remember members, we even complained to the minister about how she handles media. And when she was using vulgar, and we said we don't want to be represented by a woman who looks upon other women as she actually portrayed, using the worst vulgar that can't be even used in my poor uneducated community, we don't use that language. Even in Bizana, we don't say women are as what you said. They are drunk, they are whoever, they are prostitutes. Saying it in vulgar. So this one won't happen again. This one of the e-communicator and the mama won't happen because it makes us worse than we are. So I fully agree with the members. But indeed, if this particular issue of phase in, phase out, might well rewrite the concept that allows this particular portfolio committee to understand it fully and to stand for it. But you can't go about talking about extension. It is sensitive. To other people, it says, oh, Lamasela, they've gone back again.
Mm.
Because when you begin to change the terminology, so the meaning changes. Mm. So that's why I'm saying we are not talking about extension, and we are going to go and communicate that we didn't agree on any type of extension, but all we know is this process, which must be having the right terminology to be better palatable in all those who consume it. Then I'll give you then to respond to the other issues. But one of the members, the issue of calling in here, SAPO, has been our plan. We even said those who are supposed to support SAPO, like your Reserve Bank, and also Treasury, to tell us if they are short of funds, they are short of capacity technically, what will be their role. We had actually agreed on that one. But at the same time, this attack by Ms. Oliphant on SAPO is not helping this country. She is not saying this for the first time. Remember, the entire breakdown in communication was caused by her going out there. But going out there and talking bad about SAPO, which is government entity. If SAPO doesn't have capacity, we as government in South Africa don't have capacity. We have to take it upon ourselves. That's our entity. Those employees are as good as employees in SASA.
Yeah.
So they must be assisted instead of being made a mockery in this country. But there is an unfair competition here, honorable members. The competition of CPS, honorable Solet, you were saying they need to be investigated. They need to come clean and we know who they are. But there is something that I understand. The fact that they are the most they have the most opportunity because they are working inside SASA or social development while they expect to be competing with others. Yes, they are here, but Net One is now claiming to be a bank. And they have been holding series of meetings, changing SASA cards for Net One cards. Long queues, I know, I had phoned Usispel many times when they approached traditional leaders in all over town with big meetings where they actually promote Net One as opposed to SASA cards. And unfortunately, there were SASA employees in those meetings, which actually made our own people there, traditional leaders and councillors, to believe that a SASA program going out promoting this issue of now that there's going to be competition, they are blessings that they are already in there and paying our people and use that opportunity to promote themselves. And I think we are now pronouncing here and now that they must stop that. If there are going to be banks competing to be participating in payment of our people. No one must do it behind the backs of others. We're promoting equality. It is wrong. It is illegal. That's what they are doing there. This thing that they say, those pay points honorable members are talking about, they will belong to that one.
Yeah.
Because by the time that banks must go and pay, they will be already there because they used this opportunity while they are in our service. That is why we don't want their extension. It's one of the reasons.
Okay, you are raising a very good point. I know the question is on the SASSA CEO. Does she know about that? Does she know about what everyone of the CSA is doing? Can we get that check? Because red is very important for us to know what is exactly going on. That's why I say, what you say in the case of the issue of the empire, you need to inquire about all what is happening in whatever, their relationship with the CS. If officials of the of social development of SASSA would be part of that, of a service provider, then for the then we have a very different problem. Can she really take us on board with it? Do they know about all those things?
Chairperson, thank you very much for your input. Before we go to Ms. Bengu, I want to appeal to you and my fellow colleagues on this committee. I think we've arrived at a point, Chairperson, where we need to ask Parliament to establish a parliamentary inquiry into CPS and S1. I think our people have been fleeced, robbed, outfitted. We've been taken for a ride far too long, and we need to get to the bottom of CPS and MedOne and their dealings in our country. From the day where they got to South Africa, the ownership, the BEE credentials, the fake BEE credentials, dodgy deals, illegal deductions. So I think we as a committee must write to Parliament so that we need a commission of a parliamentary commission to look into the dealings of CPS and MedOne, similar to the ESCOM one that we just had, and similar to the SABC one. And I would really like for us as a committee to support that type of proposal, which we were talking about an inquiry, but I think we need a parliamentary inquiry where other opposition, all parties are represented in that inquiry.
You are also allowed to have your in committee. Part of our dealing is that when we want to deal with issues that we want to make our own recommendations and members of parliament, we can be afforded that opportunity so that we can craft what we want to propose and to consolidate it into whatever motion we want to do. Can I allow Umi Sisfen to address us and touch on all these matters? You have been raising them individually and collectively, so you would be hopping around there trying to get what it is that you want to hear from you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will leave the spokesperson part to the DG to respond to. But maybe to start with the CPS story. Honorable Van der Meven, you just touched on something very important about CPS having gone to court, that they want to actually be part of, not the swing part, to be part of the payment. Now, CPS has gone to court because they want to be part of the payment again for the cash. What we've done is SASSA from our side, because of all the problems that have been mentioned by the members, we have opposed, we have actually opposed that to the court. But I want to emphasize that it will depend to the court on what, if they allow them or they not allow them. But as SASSA, we have filed day before yesterday to say if we pray to the court that they actually bear with us so that we can face our citizens in our system. But really what is important is what the court is going to hold. Remember when the deductions were there, as SASSA we went to court as well, but the court ruled in favor of Greenroads and CPS on the deductions. And those are the things that sometimes we find ourselves in those difficulties, because if the court has ruled otherwise, there's nothing that we can do. even at this present moment, if the court rules that, because they are quoting section 217 of the Constitution where they saw that everyone must be allowed to participate, if the court is saying to them they can participate, even if we have filed as well to be against them, I was hoping Black Search would file as well. I don't know if they filed against that, so that there's an argument, because the first court ruling was saying we can get a service provider other than CPS. And when they wrote to us, we wrote back to them to say we will disqualify you because the court has ruled that it has to be a service provider other than yourself. And now they said, no, I don't know, but there's technicality in reading, you know, the law stuff. They say, no, but the court is saying until we get an alternative service provider, there's something that is saying there. But just so that we all understand that there is that case as well where we are waiting for the court to rule on it. That's the other problem. But on the CPS going out to the area, we have a strategy of communication, and we have spoken to radio stations, asking to Mhlobowenene and FM, trying to tell the people that they're not allowed to. There is no one who's swapping SASSA cards for that, because it is true that they are issuing those cards in pretense that they are swapping SASSA cards. We've had quite a number of communications that we have where it was first the ministers. I think tomorrow there's something on ENCA, because we've been allocated by GCIS. Then I will also be going to ENCA and the SABC just to explain on how the process is going to unfold, because people are very worried about it. And then as we talk, then we'll have a joint communication as well soon with SAPO and SASA, where we will go with the CEO of SAPO just to explain to the people, because people are worried. But what the message is now, people will be getting their money as they are getting it now, because we haven't started migrating. But once we start exchanging the cards, SWAPO cards with SASA card, we'll also have an aggressive communication to communicate to everyone. But at the present moment, we're saying you will get your money as you are getting now until such time we communicate further. And I think with tomorrow then we will be asked on how far are we with all of the things. I don't want to talk on behalf of SAPO. I'm hoping we'll be here together with them, because one other thing, we know that on the presentation it's saying that they said because of the freeze, but on some other things like your integrated payment solution, which is what SAPO was given prior by SASA, because we thought they would do that internally. But we've seen them, they've advertised 3 tenders. I think it is important for the committee as well to understand if they have adjudicated those tenders, have they awarded, are they ready? I mean, those are the things that we want them, for them to be ready so that they are doing it. They've advertised for the card body production to get a tender for those cards that are going to be SASA cards. They've advertised for the biometric and the integrated solution that we gave to them previously, thinking that they have the capacity internally. Because remember when we were evaluating SAPO, the only thing that we awarded them was that because they showed that they can do it with immediate effect within themselves, but they advertised for all those three tenders. So how soon then will they be able to adjudicate and implement? I think they can come as well to explain on their own, because I also don't want to talk on their behalf. But on the cards, we know that the cards are only going to be received mid-March and they will start issuing. But as I said before, you need more time to actually issue those cards. You know, you can't issue them within 2 weeks or 3 weeks. You need some months, because a lot of pay points that you must go to, a lot of areas, the SASA offices where you must go and issue. Even if there's a SASA office next to SASA, then you can issue from there. But the amount of beneficiaries in South Africa are huge. You know, we have to appreciate that SASA will then need extra time there, I know that they will need to go beyond the 1st of April to issue those cards with the previous experience. Now, that's where we are. Where the other banks have come in, the other banks have come in because of the direction. We have said to people, we didn't go full out. And if you read the said report, we are being criticized by not going fully to say people must go to the bank. And you must feel the pressure that you are feeling from our side as well. Because what we've been saying, this is changing the whole strategy that we are having in SASSA. But we still said to the court, we would still like people to opt for the bank because banking charges and everything is very expensive for our people. Unless in the future, because we are talking with the banks, unless we get the banks to have a product. But how then we are going to help our people? When we say a product that can help, which is a product similar to SAPO, we want all those products not to allow debit orders, and the banks are not happy about that part. Because if we don't allow debit orders to go through those accounts, people will never complain. Even if you sell their information, when you want to take money, it will reject. Then you won't be able to debit. That's one control that we've put in place. Even with SAPO, when they issue their cards won't allow debit orders. What we've done because of this aggressive EPE card that is going out, we've asked SAPO to say, in the meantime, whilst you're waiting for the card, bring your card from Postbank, and then because we have a contract with you, you are allowed to go to all our areas. Because we can't say you like the others. The banks don't come. People go to the bank, they only bring the form back to us. The people that are going there because they are used to be working with our people is the EPE, let's call it EPE because Greenrod would be something else. But we've said to SAPO, you can issue, then when you have enough cards, you can just swap as well. But we are mindful that as people are opting for banks at the moment, there's going to be a big problem because the charges, the bank charges, each time they ask, because you know, they go first and they ask for the slip to say how much is it before they even drop it, $8.50 in some of the ATMs. So the increasing of the charges is there. And with the banks not being happy giving a homogeneous product so that all our people have got one product, we're having a problem. Because even if they say then they go to the bank, here then we charge 30, then the other pay, even if we're saying we can give the banks a certain amount, but because their charges are not the same, then we will have a problem. Because one bank will be 30 rand, one bank will be 12 rand, and the other bank will be 40 rand. And you know, with the bank charges again, a lot of queries that we get, it's where people have been charged by the banks, even when they are using ATMs, which is one problem that we are having as SASSA. Now coming to the SASSA, I've noted the remarks on the phasing out. But if you look at what is happening, I think we need a plan. A plan that we've requested SAPO to have that plan, of which we'll work with them together on the issuance of cards. At least if that can take less than 6 months, then it's good. Anything else, if it can take, because I think all the products, all the things that they are going to give us, we should have those dates to say by the state. There is a gun chart that Ms. Mvulane is dealing with the SAPO, but I think if it comes to the fore, so that even the members can see that only at the state this will be done, only at the state this will be done, then it will then see that the phasing out will be taking maybe, it should not take more than 6 months, but if it takes less than 6 months, it will help us as well, because we will be able then to totally do away with CPS within those 6 months. And we do, because we also know that there's a lot of talks about us and CPS, we would like to really end the contract and make sure that we move on with the new service. And I really want to emphasize that part. That is why we've gone to the court to oppose their Infinity, to say they can give services to Infinity, and they wanted to court to explain that. And when we wrote back to them, we also explained to them that our understanding with the court judgment is that other than CPS, meaning even if you tender, we are going to disqualify you regarding what the court has said. We will refer you back to the court, and the, and they have gone to court. And I think we must watch if they are getting the response positive or negative to the court, because that part will have huge implications on us as SASA going forward. And then on the sub, on the SAPO SASA working team, the work is happening every day. On Fridays, we are having teams coming to report on what is happening on this side and what is happening on the other side. On Friday, this Friday, we are going to have a big workshop where it's going to be SASA, SAPO, and CPS. The only reason we're having that workshop is to see then how the takeover is going to take place, because it is very important to see which system is going to run, which system, and then when the systems are going to switch off. And we must have time frames for those, because if we don't have time frames, we will be doing this Infinity. And we're hoping our time frames from our side, we said it should be 3 months, so that if it goes beyond, then we know it's 4 months, but it shouldn't go beyond the 6 months that is carrying on. On that part. And then the IMC part, IMC, I've also alluded to that. They have said the communication should be the one that is from them, of which we are following the part that is there with the IMC. And we've had even the CEO of GCIS, you know, taking some of the program just to explain to the people and on what is happening. And I think on the working side with the SAPO, we've had a problem with the letter that was written by Mark Barnes, and then we went to IMC and we ironed out everything to say who's signing off and all of that. That part has been resolved. At the moment, we are moving together, but I understand that they say there are some other things. I've requested that if there are any hiccups, because Lindy from their side is the one, they must please tell me before they even go to the media or someone, because at the end of the day, the relationship is going to be between us. Because once we sign the agreement, even the IMC was saying, now that there's an agreement, you're supposed to be running on your own, and we really have to do that. And we've started with some engagement on a weekly basis with the COO of SAPO as well. And then on the funeral cover story, where we have some exceptions there, because we've taken over the function, then we've seen some those exceptions. We've written to our beneficiaries, because you must know that if someone has taken a funeral cover, if you just cancel, then it lapses. It will be a serious problem. So with our outreach programs, we are calling them and we are reaching for them so that they can tell us and sign to say, please take these ones off. I really would like to stay with that one. And some of them, they always say they don't want it, because when they check, they still see that it's only 2,000 rand that they're going to get at the end. And I think that's why they keep on taking a lot of, but it's a very sensitive issue for us, because we don't want to just say, because the regulation has said it has to be one and not more than 10%, we just cut, because it might have, you know, we might be in trouble from our side when the beneficiary is saying they never told us to actually cancel that. We need to sit with the beneficiary, and you must know that if we say sit with beneficiary, we must go to where the beneficiaries are, etc., which is something that we are planning, and we've written to them. Some of them are coming forth. I think that's why, Honorable Masamo, there are a lot of letters. Mm-hmm. Even those that have opened the EPE card, mm-hmm. we are writing them to them to say, if you never consented, please, you must sign and say, do you want the card? If you don't want the card, you have other options. You can stay with the SASSA card, or you can go to the bank. But if you still want the card, you must sign a consent in that card. So those are the letters that you are sending us, also trying to get, you know, to get all our stuff in order, especially that it's going to be in-house. It's going to be an ongoing process. For us, if we talk 10,000, it's quite a lot, because our people are all over the country. Then we must reach them in all those areas that are there. And then on the readiness of the 1st of April, I've already spoken about it, that we will need to get that. The provision of the card, I've spoken about the provision of the card. The commercial banks, you will appreciate that the story of the commercial bank came with the expense, and it came back as a court direction. And when it's a court direction, at SASSA, it's a concord that we have to respect, and we have to act accordingly. As I was saying, the panel is not happy that we didn't implement fully, but we are trying to make sure, because we have SAPO on the other side to be able to issue some SASSA card. And I think as government, that SASSA card is our pride to say, you know, all our grant recipients, at least they're having that card. You know, you can identify with them, the charges are the same, you know, SASSA is covering those charges and all. And then unfortunately then we have to allow that because of the court directions that we received. And yes, Chair?
With the 11.5
No.